When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Black Friday, wow, shop Wayfair now. Month-long big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out this song. Best in decor, Black Friday scores.
Garlands and trees,
saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses, two sheets that are you. Everything home, these things in chrome. Hands of the clock, area roads. Fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is how.
Win the season, win the win the season.
Wayfair, 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 Wayfair.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on Sports Grid, it's Game Time Decisions. We are joined by Craig Mish, baseball insider, host of Newswire here. Craig, great to talk to you. With baseball certainly taking center stage at this point in the sports calendar. And the All-Star teams were just recently dropped for both the American League and the National League. And I thought it was noteworthy to see Paul Skeens on there, basically 365 days after being drafted by the Pirates. And I've talked to a lot here on this show that I think he actually now could win Cy Young, which I initially did not think was possible. And I'm curious what you think about what we've seen from Paul Skeens.
Well, first of all, Kevin, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. So to start off with this, the one thing I want to start with, and again, I'm not defending, keep in mind, anybody in terms of Major League Baseball, but I want to start with this. We spend so much time using the term baseball got it wrong. Oh, baseball can't get it, you know, out of its own way. But when they do something right, we just don't even mention it, right? And baseball got it right. But everyone's just like, okay, that's fine. Paul Skeens is in the All-Star game. This is a great move. I think this is the best move that could possibly be made for this game that is meaningless, Kevin. And I think that what this is showing you is that sometimes the right decisions are made, and we should applaud Major League Baseball for this, because honestly, after the fifth, sixth inning, no one is going to be watching the All-Star game. So now this next question becomes, is he going to start the game? Now, look, Kevin, for me, he's the most dynamic pitcher in baseball. He's the most exciting thing going. And I certainly hope that they consider that. I also want to say this. I remember a couple of years ago when Sandy Alcantara was the very best pitcher in Major League Baseball at that time. And because the game was in Dodger Stadium, they let Clayton Kershaw start that game. So for me, it's more of a ceremonial deal here. I don't know which way this is going to go. They could give it to a veteran for whatever reason. You know, obviously the game is in Texas, so there's no conflict there for Skeens to not start. But I will end by saying this. If he is not the second pitcher, the second pitcher to come in the game at the very least, then a mistake was made here. But I'm not here to say mistakes are made, because I do think that he will be one of the first pitchers to throw on Tuesday night.
You know, I think that, Craig, and admittedly I could be doing some wishful thinking here, but, man, if the first thing people see is Paul Skeens on the mound, or one of the first things, I think it does a lot for him in the race. And I think one of the reasons I believe he has that opportunity is, I don't feel Zach Wheeler is having the type of year the market is suggesting. I think Chris Sale's been fantastic. I don't think Chris Sale's running away with this award. I think, unlike the two MVP awards, really both Cy Youngs right now in both leagues, Craig, and maybe that's because, you know, we saw Strider injured and then Garrett Cole with the, you know, missed the beginning of the season. But I find both Cy Young races incredibly compelling right now.
Yeah, look, I think Wheeler, to me right now, while he may be the favorite, I think Sale's numbers are going to be better than his at the end of the season. The reason why Sale's odds are a little bit more favorable on the books is because there's this little asterisk there that people are reserving for, hey, this guy has been hurt a lot. And I think that that's fair. But at the end of the season, there will be no asterisk if Sale does throw his 170, 180 innings. He's going to lead the league in strikeouts. He's going to have close to, or if not the best ERA in the National League, and his numbers will be better than Wheeler. But what will happen, unfortunately, I think at the end of the year, Kevin, and why I would not advise that, is because there are going to be, at the very least, a small percentage of traditionalists that are going to look at Skeens' innings and look at some other players' innings and say, hey, we cannot give the award to somebody who's pitched, you know, two-thirds of the innings or half of the innings as somebody that could potentially win the Cy Young Award. Now, listen, I did not think Skeens would win Rookie of the Year. I thought Imanaga a month ago, this thing locked up. Yeah. I mean, Imanaga was incredible, and Skeens is now the favorite. So maybe I'll be wrong again here, but I would not make that bet. I don't think Skeens will win the Cy Young Award. I think it'll be Wheeler, or it'll be Sale, Reynaldo Lopez. I think it'll be you know, Ranger Suarez, someone else. I don't think he wins it. Mm-hmm.
Reynaldo Lopez recently just qualified for the statistical leaderboard, and now his ERA kind of jumps off that page, sitting underneath a 2, where nobody else in the National League is under a 2.5. So I think Lopez is definitely going to enter that conversation more. To go to another topic, and it's been an interesting one, Craig. I'm sure you've kind of had to talk about it a lot. It's the New York Yankees, and it's these struggles, and it's super interesting when a team has one of the 5 best records, and we talk about them like they have one of the 5 worst records, but it has been going poorly. I think the bigger question is, what are you hearing around baseball right now could be the MO for the Yankees? Is there panic? Are they going to look to get a move done, a huge move done? Where are the upgrades for this baseball team?
Yeah, first thing is that on my daily show, the first thing that I do when we prepare the show is I make sure it is not a Yankees show because I think that people forget we are streaming all over the world. And as somebody that grew up as a Yankees fan, by the way, and grew up in Brooklyn when I was very young, no longer, of course, I live in South Florida for the last 40 something years. So I am sick and tired of talking about the Yankees. I have to fight my way off the Yankees. Now, I understand it's a big market and I get all that. Now, to answer your question, where are the Yankees at? Where they're at right now is probably where I thought they'd be at the beginning of the season, which is a few games over 500, going to have to battle their way to the playoffs. And I think, simply put, they played way over their heads in the first couple of months of the season. They had performances that were out of this world from Aaron Judge, out of this world from Juan Soto. There's still two very great players, but they're not going to hit 70 home runs apiece. And so those players are not going to be able to carry them every single night like they have. You've seen that come back. Luis Gil, you've seen him come back a little bit. Simply put, they're a good team, not a great team. I think Baltimore is a better team than they are. Should the Yankees make the postseason this year? I think the answer is yes. I think they'll do enough to get in, but I really haven't changed my mind at the beginning of the season. I did not pick them to win the division. I did not pick them to win the ALCS or even get to the World Series, and I'll stick with that.
Yeah, I mean, and the market is now, it's slower moving on some of the big picture stuff, but they aren't the favorites to win the AL East any longer. And one of the biggest overreactions is when they became those huge favorites to win the American League East. So, you know, if you kind of stuck with that, and I'm talking the general you, not you specifically, Craig, but if you stuck with Craig's conviction that this Yankees team was not some runaway team, there were some great opportunities then to bet Baltimore, even to take a swing at a Boston Red Sox, potentially. Craig, I will say, though, you aren't going to escape the big stories with me. I have to admit, I'm going right to Ohtani. Here's my thing, though, because I think what you said about Skeens was interesting, and I don't think it's incorrect, of, can we give it to a guy with the innings? The idea for a lot of people is, can we give an MVP to a designated hitter?
Right.
Ohtani's a huge favorite, though. I would be very surprised if he keeps this up and doesn't win the award. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think that is a fair assessment. I just think, and also, by the way, his popularity is off the charts. He is now the face of baseball. He surpassed his old teammate, Mike Trout. I love Bryce Harper, but I do think Ohtani is the face of the game. You know, let's be real. Mookie Betts is a better all-around player than Shohei Ohtani. I mean, this guy was playing shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers after playing center field and second base and everywhere else, but he's hurt, and that's going to crush his chances for winning the most valuable player. So I think you're right, Kevin. I do think Ohtani could be a runaway train toward this. Fortunately, he is going to be, I think he's going to be in the All-Star game on Tuesday night. Nobody was happy to see him bow out of that home run derby on Monday night, but you got to understand it. He's been a huge part of what baseball has been doing the last few years.
Yeah, he certainly has. And it's been, man, it's been remarkable to watch.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Feels like he homers every night, which is incredible to say for a guy who doesn't even lead baseball in home runs. Greg, we really appreciate you making some time. Again, catch Craig on Newswire Daily right here on Sports Grid. Craig, we appreciate it.
Sure, no problem.
All right, great stuff there from Craig Mish. We're going to talk to Griffin Murphy coming up next year on Game Time Decisions as we continue to get set for a baseball slate that has two live right now with a few more coming up here on this Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live right here on Sports Grid Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh with you. And we've got Griffin Murphy joining in the show. Griffin, how's everything going, man?
Everything's going good, Kevin. Nice to be on the show, man. I'm back in Chicago. Looking forward to getting back to Vegas, getting to my setup. I've got about a week left here and then ready to rock and roll. Excited about the MLB slate tonight and ready to kick off gear with you, brother.
Yes, sir. We got a couple coming up, but I'm just curious. There are two live right now, Detroit, Cleveland, and Cincinnati, Colorado. Were you looking for anything in those two games?
Yeah, the Colorado-Cincinnati game was really interesting to me. The Reds, they're coming off the best month of their entire season. They went 14-13. They hit .253 as a club. The Reds, they just got swept by Detroit, so this is really a bounce-back game considering they're playing one of the worst teams in baseball. But the Reds, their offense, it's been brutal all season long. But Ryan Felter gets the start tonight. He has been drilled all season long. And Cincinnati, they hit left-handed pitching a lot better than they hit righties. Colorado, on the other hand, we can't say anything good about this team. They have the worst pitching I have ever seen in all of baseball. But they do have a dynamic offense, hitting .256 as a team during night games, and they hit lefties better than righties with the .245 team batting average. Andrew Abbott gets the start for the Reds tonight. He tosses from the left side, and he has really nasty stuff, so it's something to keep in your head. Going and looking at this matchup, taking a side is very, very hard because of the fact that you know that this Colorado Rockies team smashes left-handed pitching, and they have a track record against Abbott. So what I am looking for in this matchup is a totals play. And I love that 8.5 total because it sets that trap up. It sets it up. You look at this and you think two brutal teams, you think a low-scoring game. I have a reverse flip on this matchup, and I am drilling the over 8.5 runs as I think this Colorado Rockies team can get to Abbott tonight. And the way the Reds have been playing as of late, well, they're going to score some runs in tonight's ball game, Kevin.
All right, there you go, on the board. And, of course, that game just got underway, so you can still get in on that 8.5 between Cincinnati and Colorado. The White Sox Twins are going to be going off here 8:10 East Coast time. Chicago, the home dog, as per usual. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, so the public, Kevin, they're going to be all over Minnesota in this game, and they should be. They're second in the AL Central. They're 6 games behind Cleveland. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they're currently on a 2-game winning streak. Chicago, on the other hand, 7-23 in divisional matchups. They just lost 2 straight to Miami, who's the other worst team in baseball. Chicago, right now, though, this is what you have to key out. They are 26-66 on the season. 16 of those 26 wins have all been at home. Also, during night games, the White Sox have 17 wins. Obviously, this is a night game. Chris Flexen gets the start for Chicago tonight. He's got a track record against Minnesota, and it's not bad by any means. He's got 29 innings of work, 25 strikeouts, 10 walks, and a solid 3.94 ERA. And then you've got Chris Paddock on the bump for Minnesota. This guy has been a mess, a debacle all season long. So what I did in this matchup is drilled the Chicago White Sox first 5 innings on that attack mode, plus 145. And if you are feeling good enough about them, you could go alternative run line first 5 inning and get a massive plus 320 payout. So I recommend, if you're going to do the alternative run line and get that plus 320, throw them in a parlay with somebody that's solid, that you feel pretty confident about. Otherwise, drill them straight up on that first 5 plus 145 value play, Kevin.
All right, so some love there for the White Sox. I did play that game under the 9 at minus 102. Taking an opportunity there that Flexen and Paddock can be a bit better than the expectations from the book. L.A. and Texas, John Gray gets the ball for the Rangers. It's from one bad ball club to another. L.A., a struggling season, which is no surprise. What do you like here in this one, Griffin?
This is a real interesting game, Kevin. And you know what? The public is going to either hate me for this or love me for this. You've got to look at Los Angeles right now. They're 37-52 on the season, 4-6 in their last 10 games and coming off a loss. And you got Texas, on the other hand, 6 games below 500 on the season with a record of 42-48. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. They're on a 3-game winning streak. But Los Angeles, they're 18-26 at home, while Texas is 18-27 on the road. There's a massive differential when it comes to Los Angeles, when it comes to day games versus night games. During day games, Los Angeles, they are 9-21. They hit .217 as a club. But during night games, it flops heavily. Los Angeles is 28-31 during night games, hitting .244 as a club. Los Angeles is also coming off their best month of the season, going 15-11. They have home field advantage in tonight's matchup, and they play their best baseball during night games. And on top of that, their offense is their best throughout night games, home games, day games. It doesn't matter. Their offense is most potent at Angel Stadium. Given that the fact that we have all of these confluences stacked on board. And the Rangers, they're a good team, but this is not the same Texas Rangers team that we've seen last year. So what I went ahead and did is I flipped this line. I took the Los Angeles Angels on an alternative run line to get a 1-2.35 risk to reward. This game pays out plus 235 if you take the Angels on an alternative run line. I love the Angels tonight. I like that they're at home. They're swinging the ball, or they're swinging the bat real well, coming off their best month. And I just can't trust this Texas Rangers offense right now, Kev.
Yeah, look, a little alt situation doesn't hurt anybody. Bring some plus money into the table. We only got about 45 to a minute here, Griff, but Arizona tonight, thought they were going to see Chris Sale. Switch, it's going to be Bryce Elder instead. Are you going to still get involved with this one?
I jumped on this one, man, and I gave a free play out on YouTube. But here's the thing. Now that Bryce Elder's on the bump, you got to look at this. He's been a mess all season long. He's 1-3. He's got 29 innings of work with a 5.76 ERA. Elder has faced Arizona one time in his career. He's gotten absolutely pummeled. He went 2.2 innings, allowing 7 hits, 7 runs, and a bomb. He has a lifetime ERA against them at 16.88, which is ridiculous. Arizona, on the other hand, they're a game above 500 at home. They also hit .256 during night games, and they play their best baseball regarding home, away, night, or day games. When it comes to the offensive side, hitting .258 as the team. Arizona is ascending right now. They started in April going 11-16, May 11-15, ending Calhoun, 16-11, hitting .270 as a club. I love the risk to reward here, but I love the plus money. Give me the Arizona Diamondbacks alternative run line +200 risk to reward, baby.
All right, there you go. Griffin Murphy, we appreciate it. We'll be right back to your Game Time Decision.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here, Game Time Decisions. We're live on SportsGrid. Anyone want an Ellie De La Cruz update? Steal. Was Ellie injured in June and nobody reported it? Can I give people the Ellie De La Cruz stolen bases by month? We're going to remove March. They only played 3 games. He did swipe a bag. But in April, he stole 17 bases. And then in May, he stole 14. And then in June, he only stole 8 bases. But more importantly, 3 of the 8 steals came in the final 4 games of the month. So we had finished nearly a full month of baseball, and Ellie was at 5 steals, which is now, after today's 2 stolen bases, that is how many steals Ellie De La Cruz has in July? 5? So I'm not really sure how someone maybe just said he might have got thrown out at home. Who cares? What a beast. He has 5 steals in 7 games. He has 8 steals in his last 11, and this is not even over. And we had a 20-ish game window in June where he only had 5 swipes. Odd. I don't know. That's all. You can't tell me it's a hitting thing. He's not really hitting much this month. I mean, he was hitting .266. It was actually much better than the month prior. So, yeah, I don't know. Interesting stuff. Double nerfy, though, to start this kind of after or this late baseball window here if you are getting involved nerfy style. We mentioned there is summer league action on. There is no W today. It's back tomorrow. I don't really know what happened. I think this is sometimes just a product of it being a small league in terms of number of teams, right? Because we only have 12 in the WNBA. No games today, 1 game tomorrow, and then we have a 5-game slate on Wednesday, which is super interesting. That Wednesday slate will be featuring Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Angel Reese did break the record for consecutive double-doubles. And there are odds listed now for how far she will carry that streak. 14-plus games is -480. That would be one more. -155 for 2, +130 for 3. The thing is, her double-double in the game against Seattle was -200. So I'm not entirely sure how that could be -480 for that streak to continue. She did do excellent, excellent work on the glass. It was a loss, though. And now on win percentage, the Fever have jumped the sky in the standings. So from the awards end of it all, Clark is the favorite, -600. That's where the dust settled after the weekend. Caitlin Clark was around -320 as a floor. That's the lowest number we've seen up until this point. +350 Angel Reese. And again, 6-1 or -600 on Caitlin Clark. Aja Wilson just continues to separate on everyone when it comes to the regular season MVP. -800. And we had handled this a prior time, but in case I kind of maybe, you know, if you missed it, because I know I talked a lot about the Aja MVP case, which was very obvious on her singular dominance. She leads the league in scoring, second in rebounds, leads the league in blocks. She's been the best player in the league by a lot. But the record was all off. We're 6-6. They've obviously, again, have rebounded. The Aja number is never one I would trust based on how last year's vote went, to which I don't mind if people threw darts on that board, but Aja's clearly not moving because the books are very, very much of the mind that she will win league MVP, which is what they were of the mind of very clearly in their preseason pricing when you were hardly even seeing even money on the Aja Wilson MVP price. We'll get into all of this and a little bit more. We'll continue to follow the baseball board, some summer league updates, and some big picture looks. Team USA basketball booking. We'll ask Dave Sharapan about it on the other side. It's Game Time Decisions live on Sports Grid on a Monday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back at you right here. Game Time Decisions. And we're going to wait for Consig to get in here in just a minute, but take a quick opportunity. You know, NBA offseason, we are kind of hitting a dead period, but I believe it's tomorrow where the NBA's offseason or free agency period officially begins, which I do think is really interesting. Where could tomorrow trigger more movement, possibly? I think it's on the board. The kind of questions, though, that I'm trying to sort through, you know, are what are the big pieces out there? What are the things that we're still waiting to see that are going to shift odds? So if you just take a look, right, and we'll just do this quickly by conference, but of the teams that were at the bottom of the East, right, are they moving any pieces that are going to be making someone markedly better? No. Simply put, Mikal Bridges was moved. LaMelo Ball's going nowhere. It's done. Okay, so you move it on up then from, you know, the teams that were in the playoffs and then into the play-in. Milwaukee could certainly get better. Brook Lopez's name is tossed around. I can't figure out necessarily, though, what this team wants back for Brook Lopez. It's confusing. They are very much a win-now basketball team. Cleveland and Jared Allen is another that we're trying to see how that dust is going to settle. Also, we were told that it was going to be a Darius Garland trade request coming in if Donovan Mitchell stayed. Well, Donovan stayed. Does Garland still want out? Okay, the Cavs then definitely are a big team that could certainly be impacting not just themselves, but others around the league. Because Jared Allen, if he landed in New Orleans, would move the needle. And if Garland lands, I mean, anyone that acquires Garland is probably doing so to be their starting point guard. So it would be noteworthy. Pacers, not so much. Philly's done. They're going to look to add on the margins. Miami is supposed to be taking swings. They're supposed to be. Are they? We don't know. We haven't seen any evidence of it. Fan base is annoyed. It's similar to the Lakers. But if they moved off of Tyler Hero, you know, they're acquiring more than trading because it looks like Jimmy's going to be back. The Bulls certainly have pieces on the board. I still think a team like the Lakers should be calling on Zach LaVine, but I'm not sure if that's going to be how this plays out. I saw yesterday from someone who covers that team closely suggest the Lakers and the Bulls haven't talked about Zach LaVine in 6 months. Doesn't sound like there's a lot of movement there. And then the Hawks and the Trae Young thing, I have no clue. DeJounte got dealt. Reports came out that they could have had Brandon Ingram. They didn't want Brandon Ingram because they didn't want to give up a center for him. All right. I have no idea. That's the East. So, again, if you just kind of line that up, who else is looking to make impact decisions? Maybe Milwaukee. We think Cleveland. And Miami should, but probably won't.
What?
And then a guessing game with Trae Young. And then a guessing game with the Chicago Bulls. And are the Bulls pieces even all that good? What about the West? A little bit easier to get through. OKC's done. Denver's good. These teams would love to add, but they're not getting rid of anybody. Minnesota's not getting rid of Cat. The Clippers already lost Paul George for nothing.
Yeah.
The Mavericks brought in Clay. Phoenix is just going to do what they do. Maybe Durant gets traded next year. I don't know. That's for Houston to figure out. Maybe. Lakers need to make a move.
Oh, boy.
I mean, but everybody's saying that the move's not there.
Yeah.
I guess. We'll see.
What?
Right? LeBron says they're close. Everybody else acts like they missed the playoffs on a yearly basis. That's okay. Pelicans want to make, again, Brandon Ingram, I don't know. You figure it out. Kings, they got DeMar. I mean, they got to get rid of like a Kevin Huerter. Is that changing the math on anything? No. Certainly not.
Definitely not.
Warriors need to make a move, right? They're in that Lakers Heat boat of it all. Although, let everybody else tell the story. Apparently, Golden State last year won 55 games and are ready to contend for a title.
Oh.
Not got bounced as the 10th seed in the game they were favored in the play-in. That's okay. I know. I still see the NBA rankings, Steph, over then LeBron. That's okay. You should take a month off. That's all. Because you don't know what you're doing. That's okay. Rockets, I mean, they got 14 guys that look enticing. Are they going to play them all? Maybe.
Maybe.
Jazz have Lowry. That's notable. Memphis doing what they're doing. Spurs, Wemby, King, MVP. You get the story. They're trading nothing. And then the Blazers have Jeremy Grant. But again, what's coming in that's shifting the market?
Nothing.
Dave Sharapan's here. Can say great to have you. And that's kind of where we are. Lowry marketing, Zach LaVine, a little Jared Allen, Darius Garland. That's about it. And anything else would be stunning if it were put on the board. It would be a trade request that we currently don't really see coming.
This is some of your best work. When you can just sit and rant about NBA free agency. And, you know, as the most unbiased man in sports media right now, you know, have no bias towards the Lakers and bias against the Warriors and different things that you dropped in there with over the wins and under the wins and get eliminated in the first round every year, which, I mean, let's be fair, that's what the Lakers do. It's fine.
The Western Conference Finals run, they didn't air those games in Vegas, out of curiosity?
I don't remember.
You know what? That would make more sense, to be honest.
Yeah.
If you were just like, I don't remember it, it would kind of, a lot of things would start to connect.
So nondescript.
They didn't air the BVB that you guys were covering, what? May Boston Red Sox games. I think that would line up. That tracks.
Yeah.
You guys are like, I don't know, this Tanner Houck's going to be something next year, fellas.
See?
I think that's what was happening.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just wait for Pivetta.
This Lakers slander is unbelievable. I mean, you know, I was just on the phone with MC. I'm trying to get you out for Summer League so you can sit next to LeBron at the games, evaluate Bronny.
He's busy.
Discuss things. No, we're working on it. We're trying to get KD out for a couple games. Come on out. Well, I don't know if we can get in there. That's there. The Team USA is over to Thomas and Mack, and there's high security.
You can't crack in to one of those practices. Talk to a guy who knows a guy.
I know where they're staying. We're going to try to get in touch with them and try to make a move. But I need you here for the summer league, so you could tell me that Bronny's going to make the team and make an impact, or something like that. Because
I don't know.
No,
I don't know if he'll make the team. I'm certainly not going to sell you on him making an impact again. Bronny is set up to be the first player of all time to be the 12th man on the roster who people then criticize for not doing enough. That's what he's going to be.
Fair.
Right? You realize that, right?
What was that guy's name, that tall guy for the Celtics that they
Taco Fall?
That guy was criticized for being a 12th man too. I mean, they wanted him in.
I think I'm pretty sure. Again, unless we live in different worlds, Taco Fall was beloved. Anytime they were up 50, they cheered for him to come in, and the books used to hang MVP numbers on him because it was a joke and people might put a dollar on it.
We were all hoping they would, yeah, but they wanted him to do more. Like the basketball critics, they felt like
because he's 7'6", so it's weird to be 7'6" and completely non-impactful.
Right. Yeah. The human victory cigar. When he came in, the fans loved him. Listen, the fans always love the 12th man when they come in. You've been at college basketball games. When a kid comes in that don't play or sits on a bench and just practices.
Hurley's kid.
There you go. That means we won. Let's celebrate.
And
let's
and one of the best things about Hurley's kid is we all remember how much criticism and hate and vitriol and complaining there was. Oh, wait. There was none. There was none when that was going on.
None.
Instead, they put a prop up on if Hurley's kid would score in the game against Purdue. That's okay. We're going to ask Dave about booking U.S. basketball next. Can't while wait. Everybody heals.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On a Monday, Kevin Walsh, Dave Sharapant, and singing the Cincinnati Reds. First of all, it looks great. Second of all, thank goodness it's not Nationals gear. I imagine the people at home don't understand why the national stuff bothers me the way it does, but just trust me, it's fair. Dave, is it fair? Even if you're a part of the problem. Look at him. Look at him. He's good at what he does, man. He's good at what he does.
Yeah, I was going to say something else, but yeah, it is fair. I tell the truth. I tell.
Thank you, sir.
You know, like it is. Sometimes it is a problem, and it's over. It's just, listen, I put these glasses on. I call these the listing glasses, but sometimes these are the truth glasses. Sometimes you got to put them on and see things for what they are. The Nationals are what they are, no matter what is said right before we start or in between commercials or anything like that. The Nationals are simply what they are. I don't know who needs to hear it. It's just the truth. That's it.
I got something to tell you, but I'll tell you after. You're gonna get a kick out of it.
The guy reached out about the Olympics. The hockey guy?
No.
Oh
no. Speaking of the Olympics, I'll reach out for you though. Can you tell me, in your experience or from people you've talked to, what it's like booking Team USA basketball at the Olympics?
Yeah, it's almost like the soccer. You sit there and everybody bets the USA, except in the soccer, the USA loses. In the basketball, for a lot of years, the USA won. Now, this is going to be fun. I think it's going to be it's not just a laydown. Making the numbers against the games, you know, in the games when they're playing, I don't know. I don't want to pick on a besmirch a country, but like USA, Mongolia, 52.5. I mean, you just put up a number where you go, if the USA scores 50 every quarter, another team scores what? 20? That's 30, 60, 52, 58.5. Throw it up. I mean, it's, the games that are competitive are easy. The games that are not, some of the hardest numbers you ever make.
That makes actually a lot of sense. Because you know that they're going to look to bet USA regardless.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's interesting. There. Now, let me ask you this, though. Because I see -380 right now to win the gold. Do you get a lot of action on them to actually win gold?
No. It's the markets that you get the most action on are the individual games. They become parlay pieces when they're big spreads. But the future thing of it, especially when it's in another country and it's in, you know, couple time zones away, you don't get much action on to win the gold that you ideally you should. I mean, when I look at this, so -380 plus 9-1 on Canada, 14-1 on France. Wow. Is it that live? Okay. That one's not bad. Let's see. Is there anyone below France, K-Dub, that piques your interest?
There's no one below USA that piques my interest. They're going to kill every team.
There's not even a team they think could upset them one game?
No.
Okay.
Enough. This is the discussion. I know a lot of people get very protective over the dream team. This is the greatest basketball team ever assembled. All right? Just look at the roster.
Wait, this one or the Dream Team was?
No, this one. This one.
Wow.
Just look at it.
So this team, what, minus four against the Dream Team?
I'm laying.
What?
I'm laying. And you know I'm getting a better number than that, too.
Larry Bird.
You know I'm getting a better number than that, too. Yeah, Larry couldn't walk.
Chuck.
All right? Yeah, you had 45 guys that couldn't shoot on that roster. I mean, let's not even do this. Let's not do this. My dad's going to be upset. I don't want to ruin his day if he's tuned in.
Say hello to him.
I don't want to ruin his day. Listen. Listen.
Why, it's one game, big
the three-point shot.
Guy, what are you going to ruin his day
yeah.
for?
He doesn't want to hear it. He's probably, how did I not teach this kid the Dream Team? Michael, Larry, what you just said to me. That's what he would say. I can hear it. He's too concerned about whether the Yankees are going to get off the snide tomorrow.
They're a mess. The Yankees are a mess.
Books cleaning up?
Oh. Yeah. It was a perfect scenario last night. The Sunday night game. They got to come back. Yeah.
Under.
Look at these numbers. I was on the phone this morning with a guy. I said, well, I mean, the circuit place here, they got 750 on the Yankees to win the World Series. They're trying to get some Yankee money right now. A couple guys behind the scenes there that are going, they haven't won a series in their last seven. Like, they're 4-15 in their last 19 games. This is real, K-Dub. The pitching is not good. And now you got the lineup, when it goes cold, it's ice. Big trouble. I mean, it's only July.
My thing is, right. So trouble's relative. They're still favored to win the American League, but they're not favored to win the division.
So explain that to me. Who's not paying attention? You can't be favored to win American League and not be favored to win your division.
The bye. It's not worked out. I know you're a big defender that the bye is not a bad thing, but we know it's not a good thing.
Oh.
The Orioles are going to get the bye, right?
If they win a division, yes.
So far, that's not helped anyone. I would say...
You line that pitching up, though.
So, look, I'm not telling you I would start booking on, hey, let's start taking points away that the bye is good. I don't know if I would... If in the room you think the Yankees are better than Baltimore, I don't think the Yankees are better than Baltimore. But you know that. Baltimore future's been in from the beginning.
Right.
Most unbiased man, history of sports media. People still don't. It's not clicking.
They don't believe.
It's not clicking. It'll click eventually. I did place another 200-1 Cy Young bet today. I'll tell you about that on the other side. Small.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, game time decisions. 200-1 to win a Cy Young. I didn't tell Dave the league, but he did take some time because there are a number of guys between 200-1 in both.
Yeah.
Would you like to make a guess? Would you like to make a guess, Dave, of the group from 200-1?
It has to be the American League. I'm walking through the deduction, right? The National League is one of those top guys. So we went to the American League. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Okay. So this is like Kreskin. There was an old routine. If your dad's watching, he watched the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. He used to hold the envelope up and walk himself through. All right. So you went 200-1. Listen, in the book, we call this an outprice in July. If anybody wants to come in and bet the Cy Young and take 200-1 in July, after half the season's gone, I try to get you a comp for the steakhouse with that too. I mean, we appreciate the business if you want this. This is nice. Trying to get you a plane ticket to Vegas instead to come watch Summer League with me. Now, I went through the Yankees, and I went Gerrit Cole. Did he really do this? Did he go back to that well? He couldn't have. He didn't. No way. Stroman? Can't. The Yankee bias is real sometimes with you. but not all the time. Is this Zach Eflin? You think he's going to do this? Is he get traded? No. Brady Singer? Class A? I have no idea who this could be.
Emmanuel Class A, 200-1. It's worth a shot. Now hey! Listen. Dave.
I'm on board with this. Can Dave. A closer win this thing?
Okay. So that's the – here's my thing. You went through all the 200 guys. Those guys have no chance because –
none.
They're not better pitchers than the guys that are. Let's go further, right? Jose Berríos isn't winning this thing at 100-1. He's not having that caliber of season. Let's go further. Pablo Lopez is 70. Pablo Lopez is 75-1. That's not happening. Cole Reagans is 30-1. That's not happening. He's not the best pitcher on his own team. That's Seth Lugo. We all know that now. Emmanuel Clase has given up 4 earned runs, has 27 saves.
Hello.
Leads the American League pitchers in win probability added, which is a category last year, Gerrit Cole led the American League in. You can tell me it's a fraudulent statistic. Seth Lugo's second, who leads the American League pitchers in basically every single statistic. And Class A's in the top 10 in all of them. Unlike the Paul Skeens bet, which I've convinced myself can actually win, I'm not telling you Manuel Class A's got a great chance to win. I'm telling you 200-1's off base. I think it should be half the number.
I like what you just did there. I'm a big fan of give it to the best pitcher, regardless. Doesn't have to be a starter award. The closer position has taken a step back in general as far as either usage, numbers. I mean, I remember the days of winning fantasy leagues when Bobby Thigpen got 50 saves. Kids, look it up. It was an unbelievable season for the White Sox. They were really good, you know. The guy with the French name for the Dodgers, what was his name? LeClaire, no. I can't remember off the top of my head. He had 52 saves. Clossy's going to get, what, 45? He's on pace to get 45 saves on one of the best teams in baseball? K-Dub, let's start this campaign. July, Clossy, Cy Young, Clossy, whatever, CYC, I'm in.
Yeah.
I like it.
Close out Class A is what one of the guys wants to call him. Look, we got Skeens to 50. The march continues.
Wednesday, baby.
We got him to 50.
You're off on Wednesday. It's Skeens Day. You better get involved in the socials. I could use you.
By the way, so listen, we talked to Craig Mish. Now, I could tell you he said he has no chance to win it. I'll tell you something different. He thinks Skeens might start the All-Star game.
What?
That's going to move some numbers.
Cancel everything Tuesday for me if he starts the All-Star game. Come on.
Good sig. In-game live. You keep it right here on Sports Grid. If you need a little extra juice, under in the White Sox-Twins game. So we'll see. Don't make me give you a play on the Jazz-Grizz Summer League game. I don't think I can get there. I don't think I can get there. Jared McCain did have 2 assists at the half, though, which we love to see. Did he get a third since the second half picked up? Oh, he did. Oh, I had a good chance here. I might take back all my slander of good Jared McCain. No, I won't. Oh, I certainly will not. We'll see you tomorrow. Game Time Decisions, In-Game Live's up next.